The business news of the nation, region, and the greater Des Moines Metro made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Business law and estate planning, visit creamerlaw.com. And AARP of Iowa, real possibilities for our community and our citizens, no matter the age, aarp.org.
Welcome to the Business News Hour. Good stuff with TJ Just there. Now we're going to be talking about the biggest restaurant in all of Iowa, ladies and gentlemen. And we didn't have to search very far. Because it's right here in our backyard. We've got to welcome Amanda Miller, who is with the Des Moines Public Schools, and she's in charge of the school food program here. Welcome to the Business News Hour, Amanda. Nice to have you here.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Wow. You know, when we hooked up on the telephone the other day, I'm amazed at what goes on. And you know why this is so important that you're here? This week, the World Food Prize is in town, and they're talking about food insecurity. Mm-hmm. Not only here in the United States, but worldwide. And so, you know, what a great opportunity to visit with you about the food program here in the Des Moines Public Schools. Welcome.
Thank you.
So what's going on?
You know, Des Moines Public Schools, we are really fortunate to be able to feed 34,000 students every day. We do breakfast, lunch. We do after-school snack. We do a fresh fruit and vegetable snack at some elementary schools. We serve supper to students. We do nutrition education lessons in the classroom. And during summer, we feed kids all throughout the summer as well, breakfast and lunch.
Wow.
Yeah, we are busy all year round. Every day we serve about 15,000 breakfasts every day, 22,000 lunches, close to 200 suppers and 1,500 snacks every single day.
We're out throughout the city.
Yep.
Now, is this just Monday through Friday?
Just Monday through Friday.
Okay.
Right
so we're not doing the weekend yet.
Yet. Right.
Well, let's talk about why. Well, obviously there's a lot of students here at the Des Moines Public Schools, and, what I understand, when we talk about food insecurity, many of the students that attend not only the Des Moines Public Schools, but public schools all across the state have some food insecurity issues. Can you speak to that?
You bet. Hunger is everywhere. I don't think hunger is associated with one particular economic class or anything. Hunger can be from any grade group, any age, any background. And so at Des Moines Public Schools, we have about 74% of our students on free and reduced meal benefits. Because of that, we are able to serve two-thirds of our students. So 45 of our 64 buildings can eat no-cost breakfast and lunch with us. So that is something that we are able to do, and we're really happy to do it, to feed kids a nutritious breakfast and a nutritious lunch every single day to help feed those needs.
What's the correlation between eating food and education?
There is a strong one. You know, someone more important than I am said that a hungry child can't learn. And so if their stomachs are growling, they have a headache because they're so hungry, it's really hard to concentrate in the classroom. We have talked with school nurses throughout the city that have said, since we have more kids eating breakfast and lunch, we've seen less visits to the nurse. We've seen less tardies. We've seen less referrals because kids' bellies are getting full in the morning and at lunch. So it really speaks to the culture and climate of what we're trying to do at Des Moines Schools to bring together that this is our school. This is our community. This is these are the kids that we learn with, we grow with, we teach. And so we're really fortunate to be able to feed so many kids every day to help fulfill those nutritional needs.
Amanda Miller, ladies and gentlemen, with the Des Moines Public Schools. We're talking about the biggest restaurant we could find out there anyway, and that is the Des Moines Public Schools. What about, Amanda, what about different dietary restrictions and issues like that? Because that is something that perhaps we didn't much have to pay attention to 20, 30 mm-hmm. years ago. And now we do have restrictive diets out there.
Yes, we do. We have dietitians on staff. So we employ dietitians, and this is all they do is come up with special dietary meals for these students that have allergies. So we have kids that have, you know, no peanut allergies, which is a common one.
Oh, yeah.
But we have kids that have no dairy protein, no soy, no lemon, no kiwis, no strawberries. The list goes on and on and on. So special diets is continuing to grow, and it's something that that as a changing business, we have to try to figure out how we're able to do it, because keeping our kids safe is so important to us that we don't want students to go home sick or have to go to the hospital because of something that they ate from one of our meals. So we employ tons of people. We do training all the time on how to keep these kids safe and how to work with these special diets and allergies.
Wow. What about a religious restrictions with regard to diet? Now, as you know, here in the Des Moines metro and beyond the Des Moines metro, we have a relatively large influx of children who are Muslim.
Yep.
And we have students here that are also Jewish.
You bet.
And so there's a pork issue involved with that. How do you guys handle that?
So we still serve pork at schools. So we serve a pork rib patty. We serve some other things. But we've done a couple of things here in the past couple years. So first of all, we've clearly labeled all of our menu items so students can make that educated choice. We want to empower our students to choose what's best for them. So we have these cute little pink pigs that are on our menu. We also put together menu cards that show actual entree items for everything and labels the animal of origin that it came from, so students can make those decisions. We serve a turkey hot dog, for example, and that was a big misconception that we found, that people thought it was a pork hot dog. But because we were able to clearly label it, then we've seen, you know, students be able to eat more freely in that realm. Another thing that we've done is this year we've offered a third menu choice at all of our elementary schools, and we've offered a hummus cup. And so it's a hummus cup and a hummus cup, string cheese, and crackers. And so then all the fruits and vegetables and milk. But that's one thing that we're hoping that students that would have this, different diets that they don't want to eat pork, that they can choose a hummus cup, and that's offered every single day. But that's also vegetarian friendly, vegan friendly.
And protein friendly.
Yay.
It's a win-win-win all the way around.
Yeah.
Great stories coming out of the Des Moines Public Schools, ladies and gentlemen. And we're with Amanda Miller. Wow. I am just blown away because, you know, when I was in school, we had a big cauldron in the middle of the room, and they would just ladle out, gruel.
Yeah.
And more, please. May I please have more, master? But anymore, this is really down to a science.
It is. It's highly regulated. We are really, really lucky to be in the Des Moines School District. We have a central nutrition facility. So we are in the old Colonial Bread building, and it really is a school lunch factory. So we are still making our own macaroni and cheese. We're still making our own cheese sauce. We're still making our own marinara sauce and cinnamon rolls and dinner rolls and things like that. So we make it all there in our school lunch factory, and then we ship it out throughout the city.
So it's a centralized kitchen that then goes out there. And do you keep it warm? Is it heated when it gets to there? How does that all work?
So it's cooked thoroughly at our nutrition center and then cooled quickly to stay within food safety timelines. And then it's shipped out to schools in refrigerated trucks, and then they heat it up there. They do a lot of finishing there. So if they need to, you know, add cheese or add a special sauce, different things like that. So then that's kind of where it all comes together.
Got
out
it.
At the kitchens.
Back in the day, of course, every school had their own kitchen and every school had their own staff.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that this is an opportunity to save money. Because you can centrally locate all of this and much more for quality control, too.
And that's really what it boils down to, is quality control, that we don't have any raw meat that goes into our schools. So we really want to keep those kids safe. And it almost turned into a cooking contest that the cooks at this school were better than the cooks at this school.
Yes.
And so now we're able to have a standardized product throughout the entire school district, that the chili that you eat at one school is going to be the same chili that you eat at another school. So it's a standardized process, which is needed for the USDA guidelines, is that we have to prove that every meal that we serve meets these stringent guidelines. And so it's much easier to do it that way.
And that's another thing. You're not only the ones that are overseeing what's going on.
No.
You got lots of people out there watching over your shoulders.
We do. So we have at least four different governing bodies that govern what we do. So the USDA, we have the Iowa Department of Education, the Iowa Department of Inspections and Appeals, and we also have the Wastewater Reclamation Authority. And
really?
So then, yep, so that's the FOG Committee, Fats, Oils, and Greases. And they come in to make sure that FOG Committee, Fats, Oils, and Greases.
Fats, Oils,
and Grease. So they want to come in and make sure that we're disposing of the fats, oils, and grease correctly, which really there is none. that comes from our healthy school meals. There's very, very little. Uh-huh. And so we dispose of it correctly.
How many people are involved? Any idea how many folks you have involved in the
Whole
Foods?
We employ close to 400 people in food nutrition alone.
That's stunning. It really is. And as we've been teasing everybody, this is the biggest restaurant that we could find anyway in all of Iowa. When you're serving that many meals to that many people on that many concerns with regard to whether it's religious issues or whether it's allergies, gluten-free is another common thing all
it
of a sudden.
Is.
You know, so when you were a kid, anybody?
Growing up, I don't remember any students that had gluten-free. So we have gluten-free buns. We have a whole different menu just for gluten-free kids than, you know, no soy kids and different things like that.
I've always wondered what in the heck we're going to do with all these glutens. You know, we've made gluten-free everything, so we got tons of glutens out there just running around, running amok.
They're everywhere.
So, yeah, I know. Amanda Miller, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the food service business here with the Des Moines Public Schools. Best part of your job?
Oh, I love going out to the schools and seeing those little kids eat. I love it.
Yeah.
There was a little boy at an elementary school, and I told this story today. He came up to me and he said, I really want some more of those brown things covered in sauce. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And he said, these, and he showed me his bowl, and it was baked beans. He had never eaten baked beans before, and he loved them. And he ate his baked beans and his oranges and his entree and his milk. And that little boy was so hungry. And so every morning when I get up, I see his face.
Yeah,
and I know that I am doing something good for our community every single day.
God bless you. I think that's just such a neat story.
I love my job.
Yeah, baked beans. Who would have thought?
Who would have ever thought?
Uh-huh. When you go about this menu planning, how far out do things repeat, if you will?
So we have a cycle menu. And so right now we're working on a 4-week cycle. So every month we have new opportunities. So every 4 weeks we have the cycle starts over. We're working on a spring cycle menu now, so it will change seasonally. Probably come December is when we're going to start our menus for next year. So we're working a year out in advance. We have to do all sorts of procurement guidelines to make sure that we're buying food in the best practice and that we're being good stewards of tax dollars. So everything, again, has to come down to the penny on what we're trying to do.
Let's go back to free and reduced lunches and 74%, you said, I believe it was. When we come to that number, how is that number derived, and has that 74% increased over the past several years? Has it remained relatively level, or has it decreased? Any idea?
It kind of waxes and wanes by the month, to be honest.
Really?
And so it comes in part a couple of different ways. Families fill out free and reduced meal applications at the beginning part of the year. Anyone can fill out an application throughout the year as well, or if their family needs or benefits change. So it really is dependent on the time of month, the time of year. We work closely with the Department of Education to find as many kids as we can.
Sure.
Receiving SNAP benefits or foster families or homeless students. And so then we can feed those students at no cost.
This is just the work that goes into this is just astounding.
It is. It
and just to make sure that every kid gets
you
food.
Bet we want to feed them all. We do, and we want to feed them the best meal that we possibly can.
Now, if I'm a parent out there and something happens, and I can reapply or I can apply on a month to month basis for this program?
Yeah. So the free and reduced meal benefits goes through the entire year. And so you can apply in the fall if you your job changes, you lose overtime, or you take a pay cut or whatever. You can reapply again whenever that happens. So it goes through the entire year. Then next year, the benefits carry over for 30 days, and then families can reapply again.
Now, I've heard stories, and I'm glad you're here, because I don't know the answer to this, because I have a 9-year-old, by the way, who's in who's at Clive Learning Academy.
Okay.
She's our granddaughter. And she loves it, and it's all fun. Sometimes she comes back home. She's I think I'll take my lunch tomorrow, or however that goes. And I don't know this to be factual, but I'm just going to repeat what I heard. There are some places where if there an account, do students have accounts lunch meal accounts?
Yeah, so there is. So it would just be like when you and I in school, my mom had to put money into my account.
I got a punch ticket.
A punch ticket way back when. I had a punch ticket too. But so we would pay for those punch tickets.
Right.
So now it's just automated and you can have it come from your bank account or directly from your checkbook. So that's when they talk about putting money in my account.
Okay, and what happens, Amanda, if a child goes up there and there's no money in the account? What happens?
Yeah, there's a couple of different things that happens, and it really is dependent on the school district and what they've chosen to do. Every school district this year is required to have a meal loan policy, it's called, and so you can find those usually on your school district's website. We are really fortunate that we're able to feed practically two-thirds of our students at no cost. Mm. We also are able to feed all of our elementary students free breakfast every day. And so we really are trying to emphasize the positive things that we're able to do to feed these kids at no cost again and again and again. Because no one wants to take a child's meal away.
No, of course not. Mm-mm. I mean, how cool would that be? You know, for crying out loud. Amanda Miller, ladies and gentlemen, talking about the school lunch program, school dinner program, school breakfast program, school snack program, lots of stuff, lots of food going on. And funding for all of this comes through the state and feds?
Yep. So funding from it comes from the federal government. So every meal that we serve, we like it to be reimbursable. And so that's how we make money. So we are an enterprise fund. We are not supported by the general fund at all. So in school financing, the only money we make is from reimbursable meals or any caterings or contract meals that we might do.
So out of all that, you have to pay all 400 people? Is that, or is this?
We have to pay, we have to buy food, payroll, taxes, benefits, promotions and marketing, transportation, equipment, supplies, lights, pest control, waste management, technology. It all comes out of this.
As a separate entity.
As a separate entity.
Nobody knows that.
No, they don't. Now they will.
Now they do. Stunning stuff. Thank you, Amanda, for coming.
Thank you.
See, I told you before we turned on the microphone, this is going to be just great.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
If you missed any or all of this conversation with Amanda Miller about the biggest restaurant that we could find in the state of Iowa, the Des Moines Public Schools, we will have up on our broadcast blog all of this information for you. Thanks again for coming.
Thank you.
Certainly appreciate it. All right, we've got to step aside, find out what happened today on Wall Street. I can tell you it was a good day. The Dow, over 23,000. Those opportunities to continue booming up by 1,000 points are just getting more rapid. That story coming up next on the Business News Hour.